Heard that song a lot today, Doran.
Yep. Wait till tomorrow.
We should just do a rotation of Sweet Caroline and the Pit Fight song, just all show. Because you'll be wearing the 13-9 shirt.
Pat Narduzzi at 7, Pat Bostick for a couple of hours. Now Dave Wonstadt is on the line. Dave, thank you for joining us today. Good morning to you. How you doing?
I am doing great. Good morning to you, everybody in Pittsburgh.
Dave, you are doing Fox Sports again, and we're very excited about that. And so I'm sure today is a very exciting day for you, what with college football and the NFL coming back.
It is, yes. I'll be watching, you know, all those games as usual, and I'll be doing a Big Ten TV show tomorrow. So I got a lot to talk about, and I always manage to get Pitt in the conversation when I'm talking on these TV shows and talking college football. So I'm kind of excited. You know, I was up there. I saw Doran in the spring and Pat, and I saw a practice down there at the field. Coach Narduzzi was so nice, and all the coaches were, and the staff, and I was very impressed. I really was. I was anxious to see your quarterback. I wanted to see him up close because I'd seen him play on TV, and boy, he was more impressive in person than what I expected. So, I think if you keep him healthy, I think I'm excited about the year.
Coach, speaking of quarterbacks, this is a big year for college quarterbacks. There's at least 10 quarterbacks that could possibly go in the first and second round. So. We know that the Steelers here are going to be drafting a quarterback in 2026. We believe that. We 100% almost believe that. Drew Aller, quarterback at Penn State. What do you think that he's capable of this year? And do you think he should be a viable option when the Steelers are on the clock in 2026 to draft him to be the next franchise quarterback?
Well, he'll be a high draft pick. You know, and obviously he's had crazy success there. We know about his success. We don't need to talk about that. But I think it comes down to, you know, in today's world with quarterbacks, there's some real different opinions. I mean, you've got some coordinators and head coaches and general managers that are looking for the athlete type of quarterback that can do some things within their scheme. And then there's still the traditional drop back and throw it. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly where Mike's at, Tomlin, on that, you know, what he's looking for. Do I think that Drew Aller will be a top pick? Sure, he will be, because they're going to win a lot of games, and he's got a good supporting cast, and the guy's a winner. I mean, he really helped himself, I think, by staying another year and not going. But, you know, whether it's the Steelers or not, it's all a matter of what they're looking for in a quarterback, and does he fit that mold?
Dave Wonstadt joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. How about the game to kick things off on Fox on Saturday? You got Texas in the horseshoe taking on Ohio State, and Arch Manning getting his first taste of real big boy ball. What do you think he is capable of, and how do you expect that to go, his first big-time start?
Well, I'd like to just be in that quarterback meeting this week because I know Sark, you know, the head coach there pretty well. But he's going to have his uncles Eli in there. He's going to have Peyton in there. He's probably going to have his grandpap in there with him. You know, so it's going to be hilarious. They're all going to have opinions. I feel bad for the kid. You know, I mean, if you really think about it, you know, he's going to have about six different quarterbacks who have played at a high level, relatives of his, family members, coaching him up. So, you know, and then he's got to go to Ohio State on the road. So it'll be interesting to see because this will be a whole different deal now that the spotlight's on you. And Ohio State's, you know, they got the Julian Sayin kid. You know, he was the number one quarterback coming out of high school 2 years ago. He was Nick Saban's last recruit. And then when Saban retired a week later, he ended up going to Ohio State. He didn't play much at all last year. And So he's technically a redshirt freshman. In fact, he is a redshirt freshman. And they graduate four of the five offensive linemen. I mean, you know, Ohio State graduated a ton of people. So how he handles that will be interesting, too. It's amazing. You're right. You made a good point. How many new quarterbacks, whether they be transfers or freshmen, that are starting in college football this year?
Coach, what's one thing that a 41-year-old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, we know he's going to be a Hall of Famer. We know that he can still throw the football. We know he still hasn't lost the mindset in the smarts of playing football. But what's one thing that he has to do this year in order to have a successful season with the Steelers at 41 years old?
Well, I think if he plays like he did last year, he's going to have a successful season. I mean, that was a mess up there, unfortunately, for him at the Jets, you know, with the coaches and the coordinators. And he came into New York last year, and he was supposed to be the savior, you know, and there was so much pressure on him, so much going on, in my opinion, that I don't know if he really had, you know, a fair chance. And the defense with the Steelers is going to help him. The running game, I mean, the commitment to the running game is going to be critical, you know, and I know Warren's there. He's a good player. I really like Caleb Johnson. I mean, God, out of Iowa, I think he's a player. And because when you look at his best years at Green Bay, when he was winning Super Bowls and MVP, Aaron Jones, who was his running back, who's with the Vikings now, Green Bay was in the top five in running the football, okay? And that's what set up, you know, the play action passes and so forth and so on. So I think, you know, the Steelers, with a commitment to the running game, I mean a serious commitment to the running game, that is a priority if you want to get the best out of Aaron Rodgers, because history has proven that. And, you know, so I'm excited for him. I mean, I've been a fan of his all along. I think the guy is really talented. I think the guy's a great leader. He's got the history. And he's going to make plays in every game that give Pittsburgh a chance to win. And, you know, the good thing about him, you always talk about quarterbacks that separates them. If your team's down by 10 points and you got 6-7 minutes to go in the game, do you have a guy at quarterback that you are confident can get on and score twice and win the game? And I think Aaron Rodgers is that guy.
So to that end, in Fox Football Analyst, a familiar name around here, obviously, Dave Wannstedt joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. They haven't been competitive in a playoff game in 8 years, Dave. Do you think this is the year that they could win, dare I say, a playoff game?
Well, I don't know. I mean, hell, the worst thing that they could do is start worrying about, you know, the playoffs right now. You know, and I was doing a thing yesterday with some guys from Buffalo, and they're asking me the same question. I said, better slow down. I said, you know, right now this is not the NBA. Everybody wants to just get to the playoffs and then see what happens. I mean, you got to win week one versus the Jets. You know, you got to win enough games and keep your focus on the season. Fans don't do that. The media doesn't do that. I get all that. But, you know, as a head coach and as a football team, as the players on that team, you know, if that's your focus, you know, you're going to get caught up. The competition is too darn – you guys know that. The competition's too darn good during the NFL – during the season in the NFL that someone's going to – every week you can get beat. So I would not get ahead of myself as far as worrying about the playoffs right now. That's just my opinion.
Coach, last week I was – sitting on my couch, I put my feet up, and I was like, I'm going to check out this Netflix documentary, America's Team, the Gambler and His Cowboys. and I did not expect to see you have as many cameos as you did. I mean, it was fantastic. If you've watched The Last Dance with the Chicago Bulls, and I'm sure that you've seen it, it ranks right up there. This was unbelievable from, you know, the ins and outs of Jerry Jones. And, you know, I was a little kid whenever the Cowboys and you and the Cowboys were on your run in the 90s, but everybody knew about the Cowboys. I had an Emmitt Smith jersey. I had a Michael Irvin jersey. I had an Aikman jersey. Everybody loved the Cowboys. Was that one of the best, like, eye-opening experiences of your coaching career, of coaching you know, for the, what, second time with Jimmy Johnson. You coached with him with the, you know, Miami Hurricanes, but in the NFL with Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones and, you know, how he was, you know, in front of all the things that he did. Like, was that one of the most, you know, biggest experiences you've had in your coaching career?
It was wild. That's all I'll say. And if you watch a little bit of that Netflix things, you know, it gave me flashbacks to when we were at Miami with the convicts and the Catholics. You know, we had the same type of characters up there. And there was so much that I talked about and Jimmy talked about. Jerry had the final say-so on what was going to be in there, obviously. So he scratched a lot of my stories and a lot of Jimmy's stories, you know, for whatever reason. But Jimmy and I talked about it a couple of times since it's come out and just kind of laughing about it. But, no, we had some great players, and we were young. And you know what's crazy is I'm just talking about the Steelers. Now, think about this. So we beat the Eagles, okay, at home, and now we're going to go play San Francisco for the NFC Championship. And Troy Aikman, we were all in the locker room, and Troy turned to somebody. We were the youngest team in the NFL, and Troy actually said something in a roundabout way. Do you mean if we beat San Francisco, we're going to go to the Super Bowl? I mean, that's kind of – we were just kind of playing – we were coaching ball and just trying to make sure our best players got off the bus, as we say. And, Charles Haley, he threatened to kick my butt the first meeting I was in. I jumped him. First day he was here, we signed him on a Tuesday, and he comes in on a Wednesday. And back then, you know, I'm meeting with the whole defense, and you had to put it on the whiteboard by hand back then. There wasn't all this computerized stuff that they have nowadays. So I'm putting in the game plan. We're going to open up on Sunday night against Washington, who just won the Super Bowl. Okay, this is a huge, huge game for us. And Charles is horsing around. I tell him, hey, keep it. Charles, get your notepad out. He looked at me, you know, and then I yell at him again, and we get into it in the meeting. So the meeting's over. And he comes up to me and closes the door. There's nobody in there. I'm erasing the board. And he looks at me and says, and now he's, I'm 6'4", but Charles is bigger than I am. So I'm kind of looking up to him, if you can believe that. And he says, Coach, you are lucky that I've matured, or I would kick your blanky blank right now. And I look at my watch and I said, Charles, I am glad you matured too. We got to be on the field in 10 minutes. Let's go. Wait. And I open the door, and Jimmy's standing outside the door like a kid at Christmas. We just made this trade for Charles Haley, and we came to the conclusion that we needed help with pass rush. So Jimmy's standing outside waiting, and everybody comes out. The door comes open. Charles goes storming past him. I come walking out. He says, how'd it go, Dave? I says, Coach, it went fantastic, and I just kept walking. You know, I didn't tell him that he threatened to kick my, you know what, until after the season was over. But there's a thousand stories. So it was a great run though for us. You know, to be the worst team in football, and then 4 years later to be the best team in football was kind of a great experience. Obviously, it was a lot of fun, a lot of crazy times. Yep.
Well, it's funny the story you told, because my next question was going to be, I mean, how do you manage all those personalities, or is it just roll the ball out there? I mean, it sounds like a little bit of both.
Make sure, we used to say, get up, you know, but yeah, you know what our philosophy was, and it was really Jimmy's, and Doran's probably heard me say this, you know, let's get some players that do things that we don't have to coach. And when we were at Miami, we had some characters now. You know, I mean, you guys know that. You know, the Army fatigues and the convict. I mean, oh, boy, it was every week it was like Dallas, okay? And we talked about that. Do we want this player or we want this player? And we said we want players like Doran Dickerson, okay, that are going to come in here and are just going to do things because of his instincts and his smarts and his athletic ability that we don't have to coach every step of the way. And so along with that comes some characters like Doran. So that's all part of it, you know.
Well, Dave,
Doran, I knew you had an Emmitt Smith jersey. You wanted to be a running back. You know, you gotta don't know the story. I had I remember one long meeting with Doran's mother and father who were fantastic people. and I'm trying to get Doran on the field, and he wants to be a running back, and I don't who we had with LaRod, I don't know
yep.
who we had that doesn't you know, and so we needed help. We were building from scratch. So Doran was a type of athlete and football player that I really felt he could play three. So I wanted him on defense. I said, put him on defense. He'll make 1,000 tackles. And then they wanted him at tight end, and they wanted him at running back. And then he wanted to play some – he wanted the ball. So I remember we had a heart-to-heart talk with his mom and dad. And you know, I think the end result is what these kids don't get nowadays. In today's world, Doran would have been gone to Florida or yep. USC, wherever he'd have been gone, okay? But his mom and dad encouraged him, stay with it. They had faith in me, had faith in what we were trying to do there, and the rest is history. So I think Doran's story is a great lesson for these young kids nowadays that bots are on and they don't get a degree and they really, some of them become superstars, but most of them go other places and it doesn't work out like they think. So, that really came to light when you said you had the Emmitt Smith jersey. But anyway, I got a little bit off track here, but I still
want to be a running back.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Yeah. So did Pat Bostick. I don't know. You know what I mean? Everybody.
Dave, you're the best, man. We appreciate you jumping coach. On, and hopefully we'll be able to do this a few more times here in the near future.
I told Doran anytime he needs me to come on, just give me a yell and we'll do it. Okay?
You're the man, coach. Appreciate you.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
He's the best. He's the best. We got a lot to break down. There's a ton to break down there, man. Including a question he asked about Mike Tomlin. I have asked myself a whole bunch of times, too. So a lot to chew on. We'll do that next. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jeff Hathorn, bottom of the hour. All right, a little breaking Steelers news here. The Steelers have placed rookies Will Howard and Dante Kent on IR. They signed Chuck Clark and Max Sharping to take their place on the 53-man roster. So Will Howard has now officially been placed on IR. We knew it was coming. We've talked about that today. And it actually dovetails into a question that I've thought about an awful lot for a few years now, really, about Mike Tomlin that Dave Wannstedt brought up in the last segment. Which, by the way, if Dave wants to do every week, he got to do every week.
Yep.
I mean, the text response, the YouTube stream, he's one of the all-time great radio guests, man.
Yes.
Because that guy has lived a football life that is rivaled by few. I mean, you talk about Miami to Dallas?
Miami to Dallas with Jimmy Johnson and basically that coaching staff. he basically had Michael Irvin for how many years?
Right.
From college to pro.
I mean, crazy. And he's so good and such a great storyteller. He said, I don't know what kind of quarterback Mike Tomlin wants. And I agree with that. And we hear it all the time. Tomlin raves about the quarterbacks that can move, the dual threats. But yet, Russell Wilson was their quarterback last year. Aaron Rodgers, their quarterback this year. Now, in their heyday, I mean, of course, they could move around. And their mobility was a huge asset. And that's like modern-day mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Like Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
He's a modern-day pocket passer.
Justin Herbert.
Yes, those guys can run. You know, Kenny had the fake slide in the ACC championship. Like, that's what your modern-day pocket quarterbacks look like. I don't know that he needs or wants somebody like Lenora Sellers, who can really move. I don't know. Because I think we've all said at one time or another, oh, Tomlin loves the mobile quarterbacks. Well, Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback right now. So is that just because that's who's available? Or is the mobility thing not something that he actually supremely values? I'm not sure.
I think he really values the mobility, but I think he values more the protection of the football. So if there's a guy out there that is so dynamic, that can move, that can throw, has a big arm, but doesn't protect the ball and puts it in harm's way a little bit more than he should, I think he'll side with the quarterback that doesn't put the ball in harm's way
yep.
and is careful with the football.
You know,
that's the balance where Mike Tomlin is. I think he wants to protect the football, and if it's a guy that is a tick slower or slower than the guy that is very mobile, he's going to pick the first guy.
Good point, because Rodgers is the lowest interception ratio, interception percentage in NFL history. That is the thing he cares about most. I mean, look at Kenny. Look at what happened after that bye week, Kenny's rookie year. He threw it a bunch in the Eagles game. He threw it a bunch in the Bills game. That's more game circumstance than anything else. But Kenny was throwing picks. He threw multiple picks in his first ever game against the Jets. They weren't all his fault. But after that bye, he didn't put the ball in harm's way at all.
Like, that's why I thought it was extremely stupid that it was floated out there that the Steelers need to trade for Anthony Richardson. Like, Mike Tomlin would lose his mind if Anthony Richardson ended up starting at some point and played the way that he plays.
Right.
Like, he would lose his mind.
Somebody may be able to get something out of Anthony Richardson. I don't think that happens here, because you're right. Tomlin's leash, way short on that guy. The other thing that Dave said about the Steelers, and first of all, I have to laugh, because I asked Narduzzi about the backyard brawl, and he's like, we're focused on this week. And then I ask Dave Wonstadt about whether or not the Steelers can win a playoff game this year, and he's like, well, you got to focus on the Jets.
Right.
You got to focus on the Jets week one. So I got dismissed by two pick coaches today because they have that head coach mindset, which is very funny to me. But what he said about Rodgers and running the football, I think, is a big deal. And we've talked about that. Like, if you can run the football, you can get a lot out of Aaron Rodgers. And the Jets last year ran the ball. This is insane to me. With Breece Hall and all that. 21.4 times per game. Last in the NFL. And the Steelers, they weren't a great team in terms of running yards per carry, but they ran it 30 times a game last year. That's going to aid Rodgers big time. And I think Wani nailed that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to talk about Will Howard. He has officially been placed on IR with our guy, Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn, coming up next. First, it is 9:29. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. So breaking Steelers move, we knew it was coming. Steelers officially announced they've signed Chuck Clark, guard Max Sharping, to the active roster. They've placed Will Howard and cornerback Dante Kent on the reserved injured list. Joining us now on the Fan Hotline to discuss is Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, guys.
Jeff, is this going to be
loved Wani.
Oh, he's the great. He's the best.
Oh,
we're going to try to get him every week. I mean, it sounds like Dorn, all you got to do is text him. I mean,
yeah, we're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Dorn, is there any PTSD when you hear his voice of like practice or whistle about to blow or I got to run or something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every time he talks, like it's like you know, being in the military. Every time he talks, I stand up straight or I sit up straight. I'm like, all right. My eyes are like locked. I'm like, where am I looking? I'm supposed to be looking at him, but I could just hear him. Am I supposed to be looking at him? Oh my gosh, he's not here. But I'm just like, all right. It's actually, I'm a grown adult now. I have my own kids. I am a mature man. I don't have to sit up straight every time he talks.
You know what always struck me with Wani is the rapport he has with all of his guys, his former players, how much they love him and how much it is obvious that he reciprocates it. I think that's really cool. And then he's just damn good.
Yeah.
He's one of the all-time great storytellers. Jeff, Will Howard on IR. Is this going to be a wasted season for Will Howard? Obviously not what you wanted to see happen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, how IR works is he gets put on it. They don't have to designate him that he's going to return. Like, he sits on IR, and I think a lot of this season is going to be, well, let's see how many injuries we got. Because are we going to use up one of the eight that we're allowed on a guy who probably won't play a snap for us? But if we're into December and we've only used two or three of them, then maybe we get him into that 21-day window. He works out for 3 weeks, and then we can decide even if we decide no. So he will get some reps at some point. I just don't know if it's going to be in the practice, you know, on not a practice squad, but in a reserve setting as a third-string quarterback, or if they're going to try to hang on to Skyler until they know he's at least 100%. They open the window for 21 days, which gives him three more weeks. So it'll be a process.
Jeff, if you had to bet right now, which side would you take? If the Steelers have a good season this year and they win a playoff game, would you bet that Aaron Rodgers would be back next year, or would you bet that Arthur Smith would be back next year?
Yes. I mean, they don't have to come as a tandem, but I would think if they have that type of success where they win a playoff game, to which if you win a playoff game, you feel like you're on the edge. Like you're right there. I mean, it's one thing to get into the playoffs, but when you win a playoff game and you feel like you could do this, like, especially I think of Aaron, I think health above all else is going to be the thing with Aaron. Like, even if they were to get into the playoffs, but he gets banged up a lot, he may decide that that's it. But yeah, I think if there's a playoff win, obviously there'll be some people interested in Arthur Smith, but I would think both would be back.
It's interesting because every passing interview now that Rodgers does, he seems to be walking back a little bit that it's like definitely going to be his final year. And we've talked about what it would take for us if we were in management to bring him back. What do you think the threshold would be for them? I mean, even if they don't make the playoffs, but let's say Rodgers plays wire to wire and stays healthy. Do you think that would be enough for them to bring him back next year? And then you have that rookie quarterback sit behind him.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how the year goes. I mean, how does the offense look? Is it an offense that really struggles? Does he look like, you know, he's not the same guy even that you saw in New York last year? I mean, that's going to play out over the season. But I'll say this. I mean, him in that room is as popular of a quarterback as we've seen in a while. I mean, he goes and talks to guys. And it's not this, like, I'm going to make sure that I'm a rah-rah, that I'm going to go and be, hey, how you doing? It's just him being him. And in the process, he's learned all these guys' names. You know, you heard him complain about there weren't names on the back of the jerseys because he wanted to be able to memorize that. But he's getting to know guys. He's very comfortable in his own skin, and he's having a good time. Now, all of this is before any adversity hits. Like, that'll be the true test. What happens when adversity hits? But as of right now, I mean, people are noting, like, in all these interviews, he seems so happy there. Well, he is. I mean, he really does enjoy it, and he has a relationship with a head coach that he values, that he feels like he's talking to someone on his level. Like, they sit and have these talks. We saw him before practice the other day. They were just chatting it up, and you can imagine what they were discussing. Now, again, this is all before any games have been played, but as of right now, I think he's really happy with his decision.
Jeff, over under 8 carries for Caleb Johnson against the Jets week 1.
If things go right, under. I think they want to get Jalen double-digit carries. I think Gainwell's a third down back that is trying. You know, people forget about Gainwell, but Gainwell's trying to show that, hey, I'm not just the guy behind Saquon. Like, I see an opportunity that if I play well, there's a shot for me to get some carries here. That's why, you know, he signed that one-year deal. Like, this is the prove-it time for Gainwell. So I don't want to just give up on him. I think he's a valuable third down guy, and I think Caleb's going to have to fight his way to get out there. I mean, barring injury or a fumble, you know, by Jalen or whomever, I think you're going to see limited carries for Johnson in that first game.
So Caboli tweeted out yesterday, our good friend Mark Caboli, that he thinks the Steelers' search for a wide receiver is over. Are you hearing the same things?
I know that they feel good with what they have. I still think they'll search for the right fit. But I will say this. I think, and guys, we've discussed this, it's a unique setup with the Steelers this year because they have two pass-catching tight ends. So if you're a receiver coming in, you're probably a 4, or you could be a 4. You're not a 2 target. You're probably a 4. Plus, as I mentioned, Gainwell, there'll be times where they want Darnell Washington in there. What about Calvin Austin? Is Roman Wilson, has he really taken a step? If he has, then he's a usable target out there. And it seems like Aaron really likes Scotty Miller, or trusts that Scotty's going to be where he needs to be. So in the third down, is he going to want Scotty out there? Because I know he knows where the sticks are and I can throw him the ball and there's no way he's going to drop it.
Jeff, how confident are you in that running back room? Because it's something that we've been concerned about now. I mean, Jalen Warren's never had more than 15 carries in a game. Kenneth Gainwell, I think that number is 8. And then, of course, you got the rookie third-round pick.
Probably the number one thing I'm on my worry list going into the season.
That's how we felt, but I don't think that that's the unanimous. I don't think that's the overwhelming opinion out there.
And it's not just the running back room. It's getting a run game going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I know they've been very basic. but you could still be basic and run the football. Like, it doesn't mean you can't execute. And I just think there hasn't been that cohesion with the run game, maybe because Jalen hasn't been out there. And once it starts, we're going to see something better. But until I see that in a game situation, I know they had some success at, you know, where they ended up with, what, 98 yards in the last game. But how much of that was in the third quarter with guys that aren't going to be playing? So I want to see them establish a ground game, because for this offense to really take off, play action has to be believable. And if it is, that's going to allow Aaron to cook. If it's not, obviously it's going to make it a lot tougher.
Jeff, we won't talk to you until after Pitt plays. So do you have a season prediction for the Panthers?
I think this is a 9-win season. I look at the schedule. I mean, there are a couple of really tough games on there, but there are a lot of winnable games. I like this defense. I think Fitzsimmons and that defensive line is going to be better. I know they have some inexperience, but they also have a couple of guys like McIntyre and Battle that have played a lot of snaps. To me, it comes down to this for Pitt, two things. Run game being another. I want to see somebody other than Desmond Reed. Like, can they run it when they have to? And can they get explosives from their wide receivers? We know they've got speed. We know they've got guys. Can they get chunk plays? Because, man, they struggled getting chunk plays other than Desmond Reed last year. They can do that. I think it can be a really fun year for Pitt.
Jeff, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn. Coming up next, are we allowed to say who's coming on tomorrow?
Sure.
We're going to do it. It's an exciting announcement. We're fired up. Special guest tomorrow. We'll tell you about it in a second. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. You also got Banana Ball tomorrow night at PNC Park, also Saturday with Ribfest and the Pit Game. And you need a space to park? Well, try the garage at Nova Place. Nova Place just steps away from PNC Park, short walk to Acrisure Stadium, located along South Commons. Prepay, reserve your parking at Nova Place Garage on ParkWiz. The best part, man, I'm just a disaster. The best part's an easy exit in any direction after your event without getting stuck in traffic near the stadiums. Plus, they offer hassle-free mobile payment to avoid any lines or delays while exiting the garage. Nova Place offers parking for all events on the North Shore, sports events, concerts, and more. Pitt, a 37.5-point favorite against Duquesne.
Mm-hmm.
I had checked last night. I didn't see one. Our guest tomorrow, you booked him, your friend. He could probably take or leave me. Christian Koontz.
Yes.
Duquesne guy.
Yes.
He was on the softball team.
Yes.
He's fun as hell.
He's a nice guy.
I think the second he retires from the NFL, if he wants to, he's going to do this.
No doubt. No doubt.
He's super entertaining, really cool dude, good at softball.
Mm-hmm.
I hope his sternum's okay.
Yes.
I can't think of a, well, I guess I can, but there's not many things that would be more frustrating than busting up a sternum.
That's tough. That is very tough. Ribs, sternum, that is, those are tough injuries. Yes.
He said he felt like he got stabbed.
Oh. Kalis, you know where he went to high school?
No. Carrick? Central Catholic? Mount Lebanon? Keystone Oaks? No, he didn't go there. I would have known that.
Chartiers Valley.
Oh. Jeff also told me on the line before he came on last segment that you're wearing a West Virginia shirt that says the number 13, and I think that's fitting because West Virginia did not score 13 that year against Pitt. It was Pitt that scored 13. Anyhow.
You went a long way for that one. I'll allow it. And I have to wear the 13-9 t-shirt tomorrow.
You sure do.
On camera.
As soon as I walk in, it better be on.
Well, what if you walk in first?
Then you better put it on whenever you walk in.
I'm trying to think of what I could wear underneath it. Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
I think we're going to do record YouTube numbers tomorrow.
Probably.
Because I can't think. Like, the only way it would be worse would be that Friday, September 12th.
And it might happen.
Of course it might happen.
I'm going to be as diligent.
I couldn't read the Nova Place thing, Doran. I am incompetent.
My man can't read words off a sheet of paper right now. I mean.
All right, easy there. Gives the wrong score all the time, guy.
But I'm not reading off anything. I'm going from memory, so it makes it worse for you because, again, you're reading off of a piece of paper.
Maybe think about reading it.
Yeah.
I didn't know you didn't read it.
Maybe look up the score.
Well, I do, and then I try to memorize it, but then I forget.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not Crowley.
So Christian Kuntz tomorrow, and you don't want to bury the lead, the return of Lee Sterling.
Can't wait.
For a massive week one of college football. And we got ball tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Me donning a 13-9 jersey, 13-9 t-shirt. See, can't even get that right. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions today. High of 73, low of 49, partly cloudy. Goodbye.